We're Elkhorn Computer, and we do commercial repair and setup. With Elkhorn Computer, your business will experience profitability through productivity. Give us a try. Visit elkhorncomputer.com, then give us a call. elkhorncomputer.com. Click the microphone icon for a free mouse pad.
Let's talk a little NFL. Let's talk a little NFL. Sage Rosenfeld, former NFL quarterback. Sage, I mean, does this music get you going like it gets me going?
It is amazing, that music. It's like you know exactly what it means. You know, if you're a sports fan, if you're an NFL fan, you're like, oh, it's highlight time.
That's right.
Where's Berman?
That is right. That was like, people don't understand how good that show was, man. I mean, it was just an hour of like in-depth highlights, and oh, it was great. I mean, I miss those days. I really do.
I'm a big fan of those. You know, I don't know if you watch any of that Good Morning Football on the NFL Network now, but they don't do it the Monday morning after. It sort of takes all those guys and the group, you know, a full day, I think, to write some of their scripts as they go through highlights of games. But usually, I think it's on Tuesday.
Yep.
They go through those things, and they are hilarious.
They are. It's great. It is. It's so good. Well, I'm glad we're both in the right frame of mind for this conversation right now.
Well, there's so much analysis now. It's like CNN and Fox and MSNBC. It's like, here's a fact, now let's, or sort of a fact, and now let's, like, have people argue about it for the next half an hour, right?
Right.
But the fun stuff is the highlights and the lowlights and the just the details of how a game sort of pans out, and I think those are much more fun when you want to talk about a football game, because you actually see all the great plays that occur in these wild NFL games.
I know all the studies must indicate otherwise, but I still feel like there's a place for like a great highlight show, but I must be wrong because like all those are going away. Like,
I feel like that's what SportsCenter was initially.
Yeah,
that's what it was. It was highlights.
That's all it was.
And when I was growing up, you only got highlights for about 4 or 5 minutes at like, you know, 6:20 to 6:25 on your local news.
Right.
And then there was like some sort of like Sunday night highlight show that was like a nationally syndicated thing, and you got to see what was going around the country, and that was it. And then SportsCenter came along.
Yeah, and I felt like with Berman and TJ, they'd give you like every, it felt like it wasn't just like 4 or 5 plays. They gave you like every meaningful play in the game. Like you'd watch their highlight package and you felt like you knew what happened in that game too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, whatever ESPN or whoever it might be, I think all these shows need to go back to those things, because games are exciting. There is back and forth. There's also a lot of really boring plays, you know, runs for 2 and 3 yards that don't really feel like they mean very much, but you know, there are about, I don't know, 15 plays in the game that are pretty dang exciting, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Sage Rosenfeld is my guest, former NFL quarterback. Hey, what do you make of what's going on with Tampa, with Ryan Fitzpatrick? And, I mean, barring him falling off a cliff here and the Bucs losing the next two games, like, is he going to stay the quarterback once Winston comes back? Like, what do you see there?
I see him staying for a while, and he's played so well. But, you know, you got to realize Ryan Fitzpatrick, sort of like Nick Foles, he's like a John Starks, right? You're a basketball guy.
Yeah,
he's a
there
John
you go.
Starks. He's a streaky shooter. He might go 15 for 18. He might go 2 for 18. Either way, he's going to keep chucking, right? And that's sort of Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's going to keep chucking, whether he's thrown 4 picks or 4 touchdowns. He sort of doesn't care. I mean, it's so weird that he's a Harvard graduate, a Harvard quarterback, and he has this, like, totally I don't care attitude, which serves him really, really well when, you know, when you're out there playing a lot of times. If, you know, if you worry about everything, you get sort of frozen. He doesn't seem to worry about a thing. I think his attitude and just sort of the way he is, he's always been a really loved guy in every locker room he's ever played in. I think that's been infectious on this football team, and no one really picked them. Most people picked them to be the 4th team in the NFC South. I mean, that's a really, really tough division. You got the Saints and the Panthers and the Falcons, and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but obviously they're off to a really hot start.
Right.
So to answer your question, I think you play him until he cools off, and even if he cools off for a game or two, I still think you keep with him. He's so much fun the way he plays. He's got so much experience. And personally, I just have not been impressed with Jameis Winston. On the field, he's been fine, but, you know, off the field and all the it looks like to me a lack of leadership. It doesn't seem like the team really is, like, you know, believes he's the guy. I mean, he was eating W's, if you remember that last
Oh, yeah, good
he was
God.
He eating W's before the game. And instead you got Ryan Fitzpatrick, who does something that actually is is meant to be funny and was funny.
Yes, you know? right, with the whole press conference thing and all that. Yeah, it's I totally agree with you. What do you, as a quarterback, because you people always just rant and rave about Patrick Mahomes' arm and that arm talent. And I tell you what, through 2 weeks, been pretty impressive, in particular this weekend, through 6 touchdowns, he's got 10 touchdowns, no picks, through 2 games. Take me into your head as you're watching a guy like Mahomes. What stands out?
Well, I think that when you watch quarterbacks, if you really break it down to all the things that they do and don't do well, if they make good decisions and they're accurate, you know, they're probably going to be pretty dang good, right? If they're inaccurate and they make bad decisions, they're a terrible quarterback. Well, so far through 2 games, he's been really accurate and he's made a really good decision. Now, having said that, he does have a really big arm. And for being a really young guy, it's extremely impressive with what he's doing. He also, and you know, let's compare the two. You had Josh Rosen going to Arizona. They're terrible. You got this kid, Patrick Mahomes, going to Kansas City. They've got one of the great sort of QB minds in the game, and Andy Reid, a guy who's developed quarterbacks left and right, and usually play at their best years under Andy Reid over his career. They've got tons of talent on the offensive side of the football at the wide receiver and tight end position, at the running back position. I mean, they're really loaded there. He really is in an absolute perfect situation. And that, you know, every year when the draft occurs and the training camp occurs, we all talk about, you know, should a quarterback play in his first year or should a quarterback wait? Well, in this situation, let's, you know, put a one on the side of the guy waited for a year behind a very good veteran, learned the game, and then this in ran the scout team, you know, made those mistakes in practice rather than in the regular season, and now he's coming out here, he's playing great football. I don't imagine he's going to throw 80 touchdown passes this year, which is what he's on pace to do,
right.
But he could definitely throw 40 with those weapons on offense.
Sage, do you see potential in Mitch Trubisky?
I do. Tons. Like tons of potential.
Mm-hmm.
And now if you're a big Bears fan or you follow the team, you're sort of like, yeah, but the other night, I mean, you know, he threw 2 interceptions and really should have had a 3rd interception. That's very understandable. From what I know about Mitchell Trubisky and from when he was at North Carolina, you got to realize this is a guy who played for 1 year, really started for 1 year of college football. I also was told that when he entered the NFL, when he went to the combine and he interviewed with all these different NFL quarterbacks, coaches, and coordinators, he had not learned a lot about the complexities of being a quarterback as far as route combinations and defenses and blitzes. Obviously, their system, I don't know the system in North Carolina, but obviously it was very, you know, collegiate, you know, very spread, very RPO, and not a lot of, like, reading coverages and things like that. And so, you know, it's a process to really learn the NFL game, the complexities of it, and then actually go out there and play really well. So I'll tell you this. There's 2 ways to go about this. You know, the Bears defense looks really good. Do you want to, A, try to turn Mitch Trubisky into a game manager?
Yep.
So he turns into the guy like that doesn't screw it up for the rest of the team because the defense is so good. They've got 2 good running backs, and he's that guy. Or you say, heck with that. We're going to sort of let him loose, take the chains off and just sort of let him go. He's going to have terrible games, and he's going to have some great games because he is really talented. He's an unbelievable athlete. He's got a really nice arm. He's not accurate all the time, which is an issue. But, again, he is still a young guy. But I'm one of those guys where I'd rather have him – you know, I'd rather train him like a Brett Favre. Let him go. He's going to make some mistakes, but his athletic ability, he's got a good arm. I think to reach his potential, you got to let him do that young, when he's young, rather than trying to sort of corral him back all the time and turn him into this game manager, and which we'll never see as top-end talent.
Sage Rosenfeld is my guest, NFL quarterback, former NFL quarterback, talking some NFL here. Help me out with Pittsburgh right now. I mean, you have the Le'Veon Bell stuff, which is well documented. Now you have Antonio Brown have a little Twitter spat, and then he reportedly mispracticed on Monday, and they still haven't won a game. Like, a lot of drama with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and it's really strange. You know, if you think of like the history of the NFL, you think of the Pittsburgh Steelers, you think of the New York Giants, the Dallas Cowboys. Well, I always thought, and it's interesting because the families are linked. They actually have people that are married to each other, the Mara family and the Rooney family, the Giants and the Steelers. These are very traditional NFL families. And in the history of these two franchises, there hasn't been a lot of sort of soap opera type stuff. That was left to the Jets, and that was left to the Cowboys and, you know, some of these other teams. But, yeah, it does seem like in the last couple of years under Mike Tomlin, and I love Mike D, he's great, but if for whatever reason, there have been sort of a weird soap opera going on. Started with Le'Veon Bell. You know, Antonio Brown is, you know, he's such an unbelievable football player. And a lot of that times is because he has, you know, a smaller guy like him, he's got so much passion for the game. And when things aren't going really well, you know, sometimes that spills over. So obviously he's not very happy either. It's not a good situation to be in. He got an aging quarterback, maybe in his last year or two, playing the NFL with their two best offensive players, one not playing at all, and two, looks like he almost doesn't even want to play. So that's a really bad situation right now up there in Pittsburgh. Hopefully it gets figured out.
Both the Giants and the Texans are 0-2. Which team do you feel better about?
They're really good question. The Texans.
Yeah.
The Texans. And listen, I backed up Eli in 2010. I love the guy, but he's done. He's just, he doesn't have it anymore. It's not that he can't throw. He just doesn't move very well. And he's on a team with a below average to really bad offensive line. And you can't have a quarterback who doesn't move very well on that line and have a chance. I mean, the Seattle Seahawks have a bad offensive line, but they at least have Russell Wilson who can make some things happen. Eli's not that type of guy. I just think that, you know, this is going to be a bad year for the Giants, despite some of the good players and good defense that they have. I just don't think it's going to go out well for them. And I do think that the Texans are a team that will improve. That the quarterback will get better. He'll make fewer mistakes. You know, he's a guy that can, you know, win a lot of football games for you. He's a guy that can bring you back. You know, they don't have a good line either, but at least they have a quarterback who can make plays when the pocket breaks down.
Right. Sage, I watch the Rams right now, and I'm just overwhelmed by the amount of dudes they have. It's just like everywhere. It's like they're overflowing with just studs. But at the end of the day, they beat the Raiders, game number one, and then they blew out the Cardinals. So you also have to take into consideration who they're playing. But like, dudes are dudes, and they got a bunch of them. Are you in on the Rams, or do you kind of want to see them get tested first?
No, I'm in on them, and they will get tested, and they're going to lose some games at some point here. But I do see them as a minimum 11-win football team, maybe 12-win football team. You know, they do have to play the NFC North, which the NFC North looks like it has two, maybe three good football teams in the NFC North this year. So, you know, they got some tough teams on the schedule, but I do see the Rams as maybe the best, if not one of the top two or three teams, in the NFL this year.
Yeah. We'll get you out of here on this one. You know, everyone right now, and this can kind of happen in our sports world, I get it. He, like, right now, I mean, Gruden's like the dumbest guy in the world to a lot of, you know, traded Khalil Mack. It's like everybody thinks he's all this stuff. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I find myself wanting to defend guys when they become like punching bags. Now somebody brought on himself. What do you think of Gruden so far? I mean, I thought he clearly did a pretty good job with Carr in game number two. But what do you think of Gruden?
Well, offensively, I see what they're doing. I mean, I see the way he game plans and the way he's using his weapons. And you know, I like the way he's using Cooper and obviously Cook, who's their tight end, who's a very much a, you know, pass-catching tight end. I like the way they single him up a lot. That's the stuff that Gruden understands. What I believe he doesn't understand, and I never played for the guy, but I know a lot of people who did, he doesn't always understand player relations, as in, you know, get the players to really like you. And that was not really the case in Tampa, even though you might watch some old NFL films things of when they won the Super Bowl and everyone loved Gruden, that wasn't the case. So he was not all that likable amongst a lot of guys there. He wasn't all that likable amongst a lot of guys in Oakland before that. He's just not a super likable guy if you're a player. Now, some guys, I'm sure, love him, but a lot of guys didn't. And right. When you come to a new team and the first thing you do is trade away your hands down best player. I mean, I know he was making less money, a lot less money than like a Derek Carr, but your best player and probably a Hall of Fame type guy is Khalil Mack. And the first thing you do is trade away that guy. So what does that say to the rest of the team? You know, what does that say? That, hey, no matter how well I play and if they don't want to, you know, give me a decent contract, a fair contract extension that they're just going to trade me away to, you don't feel really loved. And I think that's actually Gruden's biggest issue. It's not his X's and O's and game planning. It's actually just the way that, you know, players will just sort of end up not liking to play for him at some point.
Good stuff. Sage Rosenfels, former NFL quarterback, dropping knowledge. Sage, great insight as always, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on again, Nick.
You got it. Sage Rosenfels, always a good conversation. Always a good conversation. Yeah, I mean, You know, you listen to some people, X's and O's wise, it's been solid. I just think you worry about, you know, reaching the team. I mean, you trade a guy like Mac, that's not the easiest thing to recover from in that, inside that locker room. 402-951-1620. All right. Jim Brandstetter, about a half hour away from him, Michigan play-by-play voice, will pick his brain on the Wolverines after a slow start against Notre Dame and losing that game. They've rebounded and won two in a row. Is that a product of who they're playing? Have they figured something out? We'll talk to Jim about that at 1:15. We'll put a ball in the 12 o'clock hour next.